Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Carvery with Alex Storr. This is the podcast where we are realizing every single episode that success, happiness, innovation, collaboration, teamwork, accountability, basically everything we're looking for in our day-to-day, it's our natural state when the drama's gone. So in every single episode, we are looking at learning that we don't actually have to add much into what we do to be happier and more successful. It's simply about carving away that which isn't being all that helpful, and that which isn't is oftentimes sources of drama in our day-to-day. Boy, has 2020 served up a lot for us to think about, to navigate, to get more aware of, to wake up to. So many things have been going on as we continue through this world pandemic and navigating some challenging times. And speaking of challenging times and transformative times, this podcast is all about some of my best tips for leading in uncertain times or managing your own energy in uncertain times. And boy, like I said, are we in some unprecedented times, transformative times. As I'm tracking themes with my clients, and as I've been working and delivering presentations and really helping leaders continue to not only tend to their people and really stay connected with their people and really support them, but to also find ways to call them up to greatness because we still have some big work to do. And a big lesson out there that I've been trying to really pass on to people is that, yes, these are, you know, less than ideal times. They're very, like I said, transformative times, but these are our times. And so many people are hoping and wishing for them to go away and missing the actual opportunity that this is, for some of us, our big moment that we'll be able to really talk about how we stepped up or stepped out for many, many years. And what's amazing is as I've worked with many of my clients, you'd be surprised at how many are actually, although it has been such a tough year, having some of their best years business-wise that they've ever seen. And so we're supporting in that way on how to really hold multiple truths at once, where it's a really devastating year and your heart's breaking for people, but at the same time, you're also asked to deliver on some pretty aggressive agendas in some pretty interesting moments here. And then also, as we work in our organization, we work a lot in healthcare, our hearts are going out for so many of those that we are still fortunate enough to be able to train and pass on some ideas to help support during these really tough times. But some of those organizations are really, really struggling and taking it day by day. And so there's been a big spectrum of what leadership tools and techniques are really needed in these current times based on what industry you're in or what part of the country you're in or what your situation is. There was a call I was on that I really saw the effect of these uncertain times. And the question was, I was talking to a CEO and some of the planning committee, and I was getting ready for a talk in a couple weeks. And the question came up that they just said, Alex, give us a bit of a summary or some background on what exactly you're going to talk about, knowing that our people in our current situation are navigating, and this was the list, the COVID pandemic and the rising cases in the area. We got wildfires that have many of our team members and their families displaced from their houses. We got police brutality going on and nightly protests in the city, and the election's coming up in a couple weeks. So how is your training going to really help us deal with stress and be able to lead our people? And I just want all of you listeners to think about, on a call, what would your response have been to that? As if there's even an answer or a silver bullet or even, you know, anything to say to a question like that. It was such a big question because never in my wildest mind anywhere would I have thought that I would be at this point of my career or in a situation like this, but that was the question that was posted. In saying all of that, I don't even know what I said. Hopefully it was a decent enough answer and how we're just going to take this, you know, one moment at a time with some of our techniques, and they're not going to solve it, but they'll be helpful. Whatever I said, needless to say, it was a hint that we are in some uncertain times. So I say all of that to really prop up this podcast, where I did some reflection and really narrowed down our top four tips that you can take right now that will give you as a leader or you as a team member ways to really navigate these times more skillfully, show up as your best self, your highest self, your most evolved self, and be able to call people to greatness when the time is right, even in some challenging times. And so number one, let's get into it here. The first thing we've been talking a ton about is the importance of tending to the people first and then move into evolution. But what's key is tending to the people first. And the discernment is what I'm talking about, picking your times when we can start to evolve ourselves, grow our mindsets, look at what's our part in making this better. But that tend to the people first is so important. And what we mean by that is as we continue to navigate these challenging times, make sure you're connecting often with your people. So many of us are in hybrid situations where we're sometimes at work, sometimes at home, maybe it's all virtual, and we might feel more isolated than ever. And two of the big key components of leading in a crisis are, number one, make sure that you are telling everyone on your team that we got you. You know, whatever happens, we're here for you. We're here to listen to you. We're here to help you get through this. We're going to help you get the basics covered, which is, you know, step one was basically the Maslow hierarchy of needs when it came to the crisis. You know, you got two kids at home that you need to educate now and help with, and you got one iPad. So how can we support as an organization, making sure you're taken care of there so then you can still do some work for us that needs to be done? And are you safe? Are you taking care of a loved one? And what's your situation? How can we help accommodate that? Those basics were step one. And then step two of tending to the people first, we're getting everyone connected. So if you were a leader, a common mistake that we saw was you became the bottleneck for all communication and connection. And what's a better strategy, if you haven't done it yet, is make sure that your people know that they are connected as one unit. And so they're passing information and changes and new updates. And everyone is constantly in communication so people don't get that feeling that they're alone. So we got to make sure that people feel supported. I got you. And then tending to the people first involves making sure that people are not alone. And this is so important. And what's happened often, this is one of the tips here, is that through all of this, watch how much as a leader you toggle down, we call it, and get into low self and move into sympathy with someone that is struggling instead of holding space and sitting there with them with empathy. Sympathy is, I see you struggling, and then as we look at that situation, I go on to collude with you and agree with you that we're all innocent victims and we're all going to like heck in a handbasket because this is such a mess and it's an unsolvable problem and there's nothing we can really have an impact in because it's too big. Feel that feeling there, just that mindset. It is so destructive and soul-sucking to go there. What people really actually need, and sometimes they don't know it, is empathy from their colleagues and from their leaders. And that's where I see you struggling and I'm here with you. I'm going to hold space for you as we process this, but then I'm going to end this interaction with a call to greatness. I'm going to get you reflecting on what's your current approach given all of this situation or your current circumstances, or what's one thing you could do that would adjust your skill set or your mindset to be able to approach this differently. And it always ends with that reflection and that call to greatness. And so empathy is what we have to insist on with all of us and making sure we're not getting that confused. Now, number two came about in some workshops I've been doing with an organization out west in California. And we're doing monthly sessions. And what they're noticing is a lot of their people have some additional anxiety or some additional energy they're bringing to common challenges they'd be able to handle. And this could be really influenced by many, many factors. We all have a lot on our minds, but for whatever reason, this leader was noticing a lot of extra anxiousness or nerves or fear for some things that people were usually pretty standard at taking care of. And so one of our models this person was working around was around our thinking. And so when someone came to that leader and they were anxious, say, about a presentation they had in the next week that they were preparing for, and they were really almost spinning out or there was more energy than needed for the conversation, they would start with this beautiful question. They would go, let's pause and call timeout. What are you feeling right now? Now, so many of us are really avoiding or skimming the top of our feelings during all of this. And we're either not experiencing them fully because feelings have a right to live, or we're trying to move away from them and not actually experience them. So this leader started to go in there and help their team member with, what are you feeling? Get the person reflecting. Good question for self-reflection. So this gives them a pause, and they tune into their bodies to see what's going on. And oftentimes the person will be like, you know, I'm pretty anxious right now. And so that was a sign. I want you to take out a piece of paper or pull up your phone really quick as you're listening to this and just go to the notes. And I want you to write this model. So put at the top event, or an E. Then right below that, put a little arrow, and then put T for thinking. Then after that, put F for feeling. So event, thinking, feeling. Then below that, put action. And then below that, put results. Now, this is a simplified model of how your mind works, and it shows you a lot of secrets about our stress, our anxiety, and where our fear comes from. So knowing this model is so powerful. So if you notice in that, what you have in front of you now, when the leader asks, what are you feeling? They're coming right in at the center of that and looking at the person's body. See if they're in touch with their body. And the body is always an indicator of where our thinking is. So if you're feeling really stressed, it's a temple bell waking you up to possibly look at the thoughts, the judgments, the stories you're believing that are causing you stress. And one of the bottom lines many of you know after listening to the podcast is that our stress isn't from our reality. It's from the stories we make up and believe about reality. Same thing with anxiousness. There's always an underlying storyline or judgment that causes our body to be really anxious. So this leader asks that question, what are you feeling? Person says anxiousness. Now, the next question I love with their culture is, well, let's go back. Where's your head at? And what this just did is got the person into their body, gave them a break, had them recenter, and then it moved up that model. So you come in at the center, then you move back up to thinking. So if you're feeling anxious, well, then what are you thinking? What is the story you're believing about this presentation that's causing so much anxiety? What are some of those common thoughts? Is it, I'm not going to be good enough? Is it, I'm not competent enough? Is it, they're not going to like it? Is it that they're going to be really resistant to my idea? Whatever those stories are that you're creating about the future, which is invisible because it hasn't happened, that is the cause of your stress. So one of our tools, as many of you know, is to actually take those stressful thoughts and basically throw them up on paper. These would be the same thoughts you'd vent to someone about, the same thoughts you would, you know, many times it's just spinning in our heads, and it really is just all-encompassing. It consumes us. So then that leader has them write down the thoughts and the story they're believing about this presentation, and then you question it. You ask yourself, where's my head at? I'm believing a story. Well, what do I know for sure? What are the facts in this moment that I have? And as this person went through that, this simple example, they found out that they have a presentation to give next week. This is the audience. They have this prepared, and there's this information that might be helpful to add to the presentation. Now, after reading back the facts, after checking where their head was at, the fact that people weren't going to like it, couldn't know that, that disappeared from the story. The fact that people were going to be super resistant and critique it, that had to go away from the story. She didn't know that yet. Wait to see if it happens. Why pre-suffer? And everything just shedded away, and her mind got really clear, and she was back down to the facts. Given those four items, the next question is, now that our head is more clear, we're neutral, what's the next thing you could do to add value? And the thing that that person reported is the anxiousness went away because they questioned their thinking, and then they went into action, and all of a sudden they were starting to look forward to the presentation. There was no anxiety. It gave them clear steps to clean up the presentation and address some of the holes in it that they were anxious about. So this, what are you feeling? And then if it's anxiety, fear, stress, frustration, it's this backup, where's your head at? And just going back up that model you have in front of you from feeling into thinking, you question it down to the facts. Now your feeling's not anxiety, it's neutrality at worst. And out of neutrality, what's so powerful about that and why it's so important for uncertain times is out of neutrality, you then make better decisions. you're not as overly invested, you're not as reactionary, so you make a better decision, you work on the presentation, and how do your results change? You don't deliver an anxious, underprepared, fearful presentation, you deliver a clear, concise, and open-minded presentation. The reality was, though, the same event, the person had to give a presentation next week, the difference was, were they able to catch their body waking them up to the thinking that was causing their stress? And that's what this leader is doing as a mantra. It's almost a cadence that every time someone comes to them stressed, fearful, frustrated, or anxious, what are you feeling right now and where's your head at? So that's for all of us. I was actually like, wow, I need to start practicing that more. And also that's for if you're leading a team. Make that be what your teams expect from you. So then you do that three or four times. Then you become the leader that doesn't have to be present for them to be led well. Where they're by themselves, all of a sudden they start feeling anxious and they want to come to you. And right before they do that, they're like, well, every time I've gone in the last month, they ask me, what am I feeling right now? Fear, anxiety, stress. Where's my head at? Oh, they have me do that technique where I edit my story, get to the facts. And then they ask me, what's the next thing I could do to help? And I just follow that process. I'll just skip taking 30 minutes from the leader and I'll just do that myself. Now you've just empowered someone to move beyond their own anxiety in the moment. And this is like the ultimate gift you could give someone right now. So that's step two. And I also found that under stress, this goes along with the second technique, is that most people forget probably the most important thing to their health, to their mental health, which is breathing. And my joke is that some of us right now are just battling through the day. And then at the end of the night, the first time we actually take a breath that we can notice, like a deep breath, is where we put the kids to bed or whatever, you know, your situation is, and you just lay your head on the pillow, you might just go, oh, made it through another day. We aren't breathing throughout the day. So during this stress, another technique I wanted to give you, it's three deep breaths. And on the first deep breath, you just notice how you're feeling, similar to the last example. Many times, especially during COVID and all the things going on that we're battling and working through in 2020, it's anxiety, fear, stress, worry. Notice that. Let that have a right to live. There's nothing wrong with it. That's just part of our feelings. And then on the second deep breath, ask yourself, well, wait a minute. What's that story I'm believing? Notice some of those thoughts and ask yourself, what do I know for sure right now? What are the facts? Let's get down to reality. Reality is never as painful as the stories we're making up and believing about it. I promise you. And then step three, the third breath, is ask yourself, given that reality, what would great look like? If someone was going to do the most helpful thing they could ever do, given that reality, what would it look like? And then the last step, it doesn't even have to be a breath, is just follow those simple instructions. So when you ask on that third breath, what would great look like? It'd be like, well, that person over there wouldn't be on their phone all day, and this person would be. And you just follow those simple instructions. You don't stay on your phone all day and you don't not follow up with the client. You reach out and you just move yourself away from anxiety, fear, stress, and you just moved right into action and helpfulness and servant leadership or whatever you want to call it. It's really, really a powerful thing. Now, some of you are like, that seems so simple. Right now, 2020 is a test of how much you can catch yourself not doing these things. Avoiding and ignoring your body's temple bell, you'll notice that more as you're going through this. So make sure you are noticing your own temple bell and working through that process. Now, why is this so important? When we don't really understand how our mind works, we get played by our ego, which is the judger of all things, the creator of all stories, the cause of all of our suffering, wants to move us into the future, get out of the present moment. And we get into mental and verbal venting, we get into judging, storytelling, and that storytelling that we believe is usually negative and it's catastrophizing. It goes down the rabbit hole, so to speak. Self-reflection, what are you feeling? Where's your head at? And what would great look like? What do you know for sure? Notice how all those move us into reflection. Those are the ultimate drama diffuser. So in uncertain times, you just want to be managing our energy around this drama. And a key part of that is understanding how your mind works. And as humans, we crave impact. which what would great look like in following the simple instructions moves us into impact in the world. And then what do you know for sure? We crave less suffering or a life that's absence of suffering. And that simple question can move us there if we let it and if we stay consistent with it. So these are so important for leading in uncertain times, both ourselves, leading ourselves better and showing up as our best self, and then passing that on to others when the time's right. Now, number three is somewhat related, but very, very powerful. And it's probably the thing we're coaching on the most right now. And the technique is called come close in. Now, for those of you, obviously, with COVID, we don't mean that physically, like get closer. We're talking, we still got to socially distance here. But as far as the conversation and what we're talking about, the technique is called come close in. And how this works is so often people right now are like, well, if you think about this, you know, in 3 months from now, if COVID goes on for another year, and if you think in 3 months, for example, we have the flu season coming around, and once we have flu season, we're going to be overwhelmed, and how are we going to handle that? And they're getting out way into the future. Coming close in is, let's take a time out here. What is it that I can help with today? Like, what could you do in the next 10 minutes, or what can help with the next 10 minutes that would help you add value? And say you're trying to bring it down to 10 minutes from now. What's the very next thing we could do? And so when someone gets out into like 3 months from now, it's like, what do you need for me in the next 10 minutes? Okay, how you doing? Well, I'm good. We're all good. Right now we're fine. The next 10 minutes, we're good. We got everything we need. We're all set. We got enough staff. We got enough resources. We're good. But if you think about 3 months from now, this is going to be an absolute disaster. We're going to have to hire more people. It's like, well, okay, today's good. What about tomorrow? What do we need tomorrow? What's like your top concern for tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow, we got that taken care of. All's looking good now. I'm not worried about tomorrow, but 3 months from now, or even if you think about a year from now, okay, so tomorrow's good. Now you go to the edges. So what about next week? Well, next week is pretty good. Actually, there's one thing. Okay, let's focus on that. So today's good. The next 10 minutes is good. And tomorrow's good, but you said something this week. What is that? What could we help with there? And just try and really narrow it down to the present moment and just the next step that would add value, and keep managing that energy so people don't get into all of that catastrophizing. And this is so important because one of my favorite teachers says it all the time. If you want stress, fear, and terror on purpose, get a future. So get out ahead of yourself and start talking about how this is going to play out and where it's going to get bad and how this is going to happen down the line if 3 or 4 things happen. And I promise you will literally freak yourself out. Now, this doesn't mean you don't plan and you don't think about and have intentions and hope for the future. It's not that, because planning and hopes for the future shouldn't be painful and cause suffering. But if you feel yourself getting into the future and feeling suffering or that anguish that we all know about, that, I promise you, is not that helpful. So really try and come close in with your own thinking and that of others, and help people just know that the place they add value is that moment right after they've recognized their reality and got neutral with it. Then you take the next step forward, and that's all we can do. Put a bunch of those together, and I promise we'll have a better reality and a safer reality, and what we're hoping for in the future. We'll get closer to that if that's our mantra. Step 4, and the last step I want to leave you all with, is really get clear on the difference between self-care versus self-soothing during these times. So many of us, when we are stressed or it's uncertain times or all of this ambiguity, and we feel that anxiousness coming up, we are toggling down in our mindset and getting into low self and moving into self-soothing, which is, at the end of the big day, we made it through, I just need, you know, a glass of wine, which turns into a couple glasses of wine. And we never feel like we get caught up. Or maybe we are binge watching too much news. Or for me, my vice is all of a sudden I'm down the rabbit hole of Twitter again. And that is all about the ego getting fed, and it's self-soothing. Self-care, on the other hand, are some of those daily habits and practices that we know fuel our energy, our neutrality, and have us show up in our highest self. And this can be anything from meditation, reading books, unplugging, doing breathing exercises, doing more listening, really looking at where do we tend to default when we are stressed, and can we override some of those natural human responses? And self-soothing is always a temporary fix, and usually at the end of it, it actually takes more energy than it adds, and we wonder why we're tired all the time. And so this has been a lesson that came to me, and I've heard from many others, is when this 2020 hit and we saw the pandemic and some of the social unrest and all of these things, one of the quotes I saw was, you can go through this entire experience as a prisoner or a monk, your choice. Now, this doesn't mean you disconnect from everything if you're going to go through it as a monk. It means that you are really tuning into your mind. You want to be as clear as possible to really get your mind blown about your biases that you had that you didn't know about, or to really connect and feel and be there and present for your clients that eventually need you. And in all of this, this self-soothe versus self-care, I really got into this and looking more at my habits and how I default. And my wife was actually, prior to the pandemic, but right before the pandemic started, was pregnant with our first child. And so she obviously wasn't drinking alcohol. And on October 7th, I made a commitment with another family member. We're like, you know, let's try just no drinking for October. And we started that month and we were just going to check it out. And this was pre-pandemic. Obviously, it didn't technically start the pandemic till February, March. And, you know, 1 month turned into a couple months, and then it got easier. And not that I'm perfect or amazing, I've never done this before, but I just have kept that going. And now, over a year later, it has been fascinating to look at what habits have been added to that, that I used to do more self-soothing, and now I've moved into more meditation, more reading instead of just watching TV. Feeling better in silence and feeling better in doing nothingness instead of all the busyness, and just watching my child now, who is, everything's new to them. And just, what if I lived life like that, where everything you've never seen before, you can't name it yet, you can't say a word yet. It has really just brought back this whole open mind and clear mind to really experience what everything I need to take in from 2020, the pandemic, and what I'm learning about conversations that we're having on, you know, the racial inequalities and things like that. Like, it is really helped to look at the difference between these two, and then to talk to your teams about what are some good habits for self-care versus self-soothing, and how does this affect our approach at work, our ability to show up for our clients. And, you know, I can't really tell because I wouldn't know the other way. But I knew that me being as clear as I could as business came in and I'm presenting, if I can bring that frequency and that openness to the clients that are really out there on the front lines doing amazing work, hopefully I can be a great resource for all of those that we love that are using the philosophy. And so step four is all about really tuning into your defaults with that. So there you have it, you guys. Hopefully you loved these four techniques. It's all about tending to the people first and making sure you are using empathy, not sympathy. So really tune into that and watch each day. Just raise it in your awareness. Step two, probably one of my favorites, is that tool there, that technique. What are you feeling? Let's call a timeout. Notice that. Feel that. Now let's move into, where's your head at? And really even draw up that model for people to show, here's what I'm trying to lead you through, so you can look at your tendencies when you're a little stressed or anxious. And then let's move from self-reflection to contemplation on, does this happen consistently? So you can move beyond this. It's a great coaching technique. Remember that breathing exercise is a modification, if you want to do that yourself, the three deep breaths, to move you from the anxiousness to what do you know for sure, to what would great look like. Number three, remember, come close in. Notice how often yourself and others are moving way out into the future. And if you want stress and fear on purpose, get a future. Bring people back to, what's the next thing we can do to add value? What do we need by the end of the week? What about next week? And just go to the edges from there. And then number four, take an audit of your self-soothing habits that lead to low self-behavior, not feeling very well, not energized. And which ones can you move into around self-care? And so that's my call to everyone. And I hope you share this with all of those that you interact with, especially at work. This is all about leading ourselves and others in uncertain times. And we got to stick together here. And so I hope this helped you feel like you're not alone, because we're out there trying to navigate this with you. And I'm screwing this up, but only daily. But thanks for coming back to the Carvery and chipping away some of that drama yet again. So if you love this episode, like I said, pass it along, get it out there to anyone you know. Reviews are huge on the podcast, so if you could go to Apple or any of the places where you can review and give it a review and maybe some comments, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you all next time on The Carvery. Have a great day. Keep doing what you can to support each other, and let's keep ditching the drama.